Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Renee.
And I'm Jalian.
Ja, can you believe we've only been on the job for a month and we've already landed ourselves in the hospital?
Don't worry, we're fine. We're actually here to introduce you to Dr. Will Ross, who at the moment is hustling down a long hallway inside of Washington University's sprawling medical school campus.
So yeah, I've been walking down this corridor for many years. This is home.
As head of the dialysis unit, he sports a shiny enamel pin of a bisected kidney on his white coat.
So we're gonna take a stroll through our dialysis unit.
Dr. Ross is a busy guy. On top of being a doctor, he helps lead diversity and community partnerships at Washington University's med school, and he's a professor.
I think it's really important to identify a field where I can go in and first make a difference with the patient population that I can personally impact.
And you don't have to spend much time with Dr. Ross to understand how committed he is to providing quality care.
And then you can end up feeling a whole lot
better. He stops to check in on the patient.
So you're not going to let me down. You're going to stay independent, aren't you?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, then. You take care.
Okay.
On any given day, this dialysis unit would be at capacity, and you would walk through and you say, my goodness, 80% of the patients are African American, you know, maybe 5% are Latino. It's striking. I wanted to see, take care of people who really resemble the people who I grew up with and live with. And so it was important to be in this type of an urban dialysis unit in an urban hospital in an urban medical center.
Dr. Ross's talents were spotted early in his career. We walk back to his office and he shows us a black and white photo of himself from the 90s.
He's smiling and standing next to Antonia Novello, the first Latina Surgeon General, and Clive Callender, the most prominent African-American transplant surgeon in the country at the time.
They allowed me to see the benefits of taking a public health approach to all that I do.
But he says his drive to serve started well before that. Back when he was a child, growing up in a disenfranchised neighborhood in Memphis, trying to find health care for his sister.
So I would take her to the hospital, which is a few blocks from where we lived. Can you imagine three kids going into the emergency room? We were not treated well because we were three poor-looking black kids showing up in the emergency room on a Saturday night saying, where are your parents? And we don't know. You can help us.
And that treatment was so profoundly unfair that it drove him to do something about it.
We should be treated with a level of dignity, respect that anyone who's a human deserves. And I made that commitment at a very young age that I was going to go into medicine and I was going to do what I could to provide that level of really care and dignity that people deserve.
But the med school professor doesn't give St. Louis high marks when it comes to racial equity in healthcare.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would put us at a 3.5 to 4. We really haven't come out with a long-term strategic plan among our top leaders that really will put us in that direction, on that path. That's missing.
And he says the fractured way St. Louis City and County are governed make wholesale policy changes especially difficult.
There are more than 80 municipalities, more than 50 police departments, and more than 20 school districts, all for a combined population of only 1.3 million people in St. Louis City and County.
That's a lot of systems that would have to begin changing.
As a consequence, we really are just, we're piecing together parts of the quilt, and we're missing big parts.
Which is why Dr. Ross is convinced that we can't begin to alleviate health disparities without first addressing the region's municipal and governmental divides.
You need a long-term strategic approach to addressing health disparities. That's why I became involved in city-county governance. And so we just haven't come together.
A couple of years ago, Dr. Ross found himself at a crossroads.
He would join powerful people who wanted to create a new way to govern a divided region. He saw it as a chance to help clear a path toward greater equity in healthcare.
But things didn't exactly go as planned.
On this episode, we tell the story of how Dr. Ross's recommendations and criticisms were received, because it says a lot about how race and power continues to work in one of the nation's most segregated cities.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for people somewhere on the woke spectrum. Back in the mid-90s, Dr. Ross was part of a leadership development program run by Focus St. Louis, an organization that trains civic leaders. They asked participants to read a policy paper on the idea of having one giant government for St. Louis City and County.
Just made sense, given what I had known about St. Louis. But I wanted to move forward and look at a much more of a broader issue of not just shared service, but shared governance, you know, one region.
Years passed. And then, in 2013, a new nonprofit called Better Together started conducting research on all the governmental divides in the region. It was backed by index fund pioneer and tax cut proponent Rex Singfeld. No one outside the group had a sense for why exactly they were doing this, other than to release some well-thought-out white papers on local government.
But in 2017, a well-connected friend of Dr. Ross with ties to Better Together asked him an unexpected question.
I heard that you're interested in this regional governance, and we'd love to invite you to the board.
Dr. Ross found the idea intriguing, and a meeting was set up with Bert Walker, who co-wrote the policy paper on unified government that Dr. Ross had read in the mid-90s. Walker, a well-connected local power broker, had quietly started putting together a team of highly influential and strategic minds. He wanted to make the idea of a unified government a reality.
And it would be done under the banner of Better Together, the group that had been collecting research on municipal divides.
Bert said, you know, well, let's talk about this a little bit more. And I subsequently was invited to serve on the Better Together board.
Dr. Ross became vice chairman of the Better Together board, and he joined the Better Together task force, which operated separately from the board and focused on research, community engagement, and recommendations.
It's important that we address these inequities, and we cannot address these inequities when we're still so fragmented.
Other board members included powerful, business-minded people working in utilities, industry, law, and investment firms.
Dr. Ross is a well-connected guy, and he worked with a few board members in the past, so he was optimistic about what he could accomplish.
I just tried to make sure that I spoke from the perspective of a Black man, but also from the perspective of someone who was trying to bring two perspectives to the table. Providing some, hopefully, a perspective which was more community-based, a perspective which really was much more organic and less top-down.
Dr. Ross says things were off to a great start.
And his desire to focus on public health was well-received.
As a public health person and administrator, I've always felt that we can align our efforts, public health efforts, that we need one regional health department.
And he was encouraged by Better Together's research into another area of reform, economic development. In a divided region, corporations can shop around municipalities for the best tax break when building, let's say, a big box store. And many observers think municipalities way overuse those tax breaks. In Dr. Ross's mind, that just takes away tax dollars that could be spent on social programs.
We cannot really address the issues of expanded transportation or public safety or adequate housing unless we have a regional approach and have resources commensurate with a regional consensus around those things.
Better Together would go on to recommend a regional commission that would, in part, tamp down on the overuse of an especially common form of tax breaks called TIFs. Or tax increment financing.
There was a lot of sausage making, and I was in the belly of the beast, and it reeked. But, you know, I thought it was important to be there and say what needed to be said. My viewpoint didn't always get embraced, but it got heard.
And then he started asking some fundamental questions.
As a medical doctor, he had strong opinions about how you should approach research and recommendations. He figured you make something, experiment, and if it doesn't work, you take what you learn to improve the next attempt. And even when you have results that look great, you ask some really smart people to review your findings.
I'm about as nerdy and geeky as you come. I love numbers, and I took the Better Together data, and I crunched it multiple times, and it came out valid. And I said, but that doesn't matter what I think. We have to prove that this is real data, and we need an external validation process.
He was worried that without externally validated data, there'd be no community trust or support for the Better Together plan.
the community will not trust this if we don't have someone who's really much more outside of the framework of Better Together, someone who can be more dispassionate to really review this data.
The request went nowhere, and the decision would contribute to a string of challenges for the group down the line. For Dr. Ross, it was a big red flag.
You know, I pushed aggressively, and that didn't happen. And I think that was perhaps one of the, you know, in my mind, you know, this first inkling that that they're not listening.
Better Together wasn't about to slow down. They were going to unveil an ambitious plan to create an entirely new, massive local government.
Small municipalities in the county would lose almost all of their power. Dozens of police departments would be merged into a massive new force. The more than 75 municipal courts would be a thing of the past.
And in January of this year, Dr. Rush joined the rest of the board members at an upscale hotel on the city-county border.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats.
Flanked by some of the region's most powerful politicians, their campaign to remake St. Louis was about to launch. Better Together wanted to create a new super powerful mayor's office to oversee what they would call St. Louis Metro City.
At the time, the first person to hold that office would be Steve Stanger. He's the former St. Louis County executive. If you don't know why, we'll explain in a few minutes.
At any rate, when he steps up to the mic, he says the top selling point is improving racial equity.
Too often, for too many generations, the future of many St. Louisans has been largely dictated by the color of their skin or the numbers in their zip code. I say no more to that. I say no more to the splitting and hacking that has divided us for more than a century.
Arendam Carr, a local attorney and part of the task force that's pushing consolidation, says this isn't really about local government.
I became increasingly confident that addressing the issue of fragmentation is a social justice issue.
Some of the most powerful people in this region with deep, historic racial divides wanted to create an entirely new megacity, and racial equity is the top public selling point. But as the saying goes, the devil's in the details. Shortly after Better Together went public with their merger plan, the criticism started rolling in. Unsurprisingly, lots of municipal politicians didn't like it. They'd lose almost all of their power. And there were other concerns. For example, in order to make the new metro city, Better Together put an initiative on the statewide ballot in 2020. Their reasoning was that the state constitution had to be changed to make a new city, and that could only happen with a statewide vote.
Lots of residents didn't buy their logic, especially when the result of the vote would decide how they're governed. But some of the most vocal criticism came from Black leadership.
The group of people gathered didn't want to hear what anybody else thought.
Starsky Wilson was the co-chair of the Ferguson Commission, and they issued a racial equity report that Better Together referenced as a justification for its plan. Following the killing of Michael Brown, the Ferguson Commission spent months listening to residents, gathering ideas on how the region could become more equitable.
Better Together is absolutely using a process, using a democratic process that is informed by the citizens, and a very valuable academic process that Black scholars at some of our best research institutions through For the Sake of All put together in order to sell something to citizens of this region that they know is going to be unpopular.
The Ferguson Commission could have made any recommendation they wanted. Creating a giant St. Louis metro city wasn't on the list.
The report did emphasize the need to improve racial equity by investing in children. And there are large disparities in school funding between majority white and majority Black school districts. But Better Together didn't touch schools at all, saying it was outside the scope of their work.
It's a unique decision that feels and seems significantly racialized that you did not include the opportunity to equitably spend on every child in this footprint.
On top of that, the political reality didn't sit well with many Black leaders and residents. The merger plan would turn the St. Louis County executive into a mega powerful mayor over all of St. Louis City and County. St. Louis City has a strong base of Black political power, but it would be years before city voters would have a say in who holds the office of the mega mayor.
That is a definition of apartheid.
And as the criticism mounted, Dr. Ross found himself in a place he hadn't expected. Suddenly, he was the one who was being checked.
I was supposed to be checked by Black leaders. That was quite appropriate. I had to be held accountable, and they were holding me accountable, and I respect them for doing that. It was because of those checks that I started asking myself even stronger, even more questions about not necessarily the legitimacy of what we were doing, but the ability to truly represent that perspective.
But he felt a deep responsibility to stay at the table and hold Better Together accountable.
I really felt that as someone inside, I had to be the one at the table. I had to ask the questions that no one else wanted to ask. I had to challenge the status quo. I had to be the one to state who's holding us accountable and how will we indeed represent all the constituents at the table. And so it gave me an opportunity to have a stronger voice, and I felt unconstrained. I felt I should be even more strident in both supporting the things I believe in and speaking out very candidly about the things I disbelieved.
When Better Together started holding town halls, the backlash hit them hard. One complaint echoed concerns that Dr. Ross had already raised.
Former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch accused Better Together of sharing inaccurate data that was 5 years old. And Dr. Ross says Better Together staff didn't take criticism well.
He recalls one meeting in De Pere, a suburban part of St. Louis County. Residents there were highly critical of Better Together's plan. Even though it was uncomfortable, Dr. Ross took it as a positive part of the process.
And I said, this is wonderful. This is democracy. This is how it works. And I said, wasn't that a great forum? And they said, oh, no, gosh, that, you know, we couldn't get our message through. It was too disruptive. But I said, but you hurt people. That's what you want. And it was amazing that the dichotomy of views.
Feeling the heat, especially among Black residents and political leaders, Better Together had to act fast. They secured the endorsement of John Gaskin III, president of the St. Louis County NAACP, and quickly organized a press conference.
When Better Together and the task force released these recommendations on January 28th, they presented a bold and transformative vision for St. Louis. The county NAACP is excited to begin this partnership with Better Together to build on our history of advocating for bold and necessary change. We stand for what is right, regardless of what is popular.
But as soon as the press conference was over, reporters started asking questions, and Gaskin admitted that he was actually on the payroll of Unite STL, the political arm of Better Together.
Suddenly, his endorsement didn't seem at all genuine, and Black political leaders called for him to resign as the St. Louis County NAACP president. Dr. Ross says he had no idea about Gaskin's dual role. He was at the table, but says he wasn't getting the full picture of what was going on behind the scenes.
Again, that's dismissiveness at the highest level. I mean, that's graft and corruption to me at the highest level.
It's worth noting that he would go on to say the word dismiss or some form of it 14 times in the course of one interview about his time with Better Together. We reached out to all of the 14 Better Together board members. We wanted to know how they would respond to Dr. Ross's concerns about being dismissed.
Hardly any of the board members responded, but one board member, Mike Hanna, was willing to go on tape.
What I saw was an extraordinary amount of respect afforded Will. He's very bright, very connected, and the board sought his guidance with great regularity as to how we could better outreach. In fact, he was commissioned by the board to be one of the primary articulate folks to go out into the community.
And that's the wrong answer, says Dr. Ross.
I don't need anyone to tell me that I was dismissed. It's how I feel. It's personal. And anyone who states that they have to recognize that they're operating with a sort of maybe unrecognized hubris. and they should have some cultural sensitivity when we have these conversations and say, oh, I didn't know Will felt that way. Will, tell me a little bit more. Tell us how you feel. I mean, that's how you get into a conversation. That's how you get a conversation going forward. That's how you build racial, that's how you create racial alliances, by recognizing that someone does not agree or believe the same way.
We circle back to Arendam Carr. He's the local attorney you briefly heard from at the top of the show, saying that addressing fragmented government is akin to social justice work. Carr served on the task force, which Dr. Ross also belonged to, and he shared many of Dr. Ross's concerns. And while Carr says he didn't personally witness Dr. Ross being dismissed, it seemed like their shared concerns weren't being taken seriously.
I would say we were disappointed, frustrated. We had felt that our diligence and our process in trying to check ourselves each and every time, using a lens, having other people come in and take a look at it, analyze it, and say, okay, where are our blind spots? What should we be doing? I think that process was going well. But then again, I think once the rollout came out, that's where the frustrations really grew.
And while Carr says he didn't personally witness Dr. Ross being dismissed, it seemed like their shared concerns weren't being taken seriously.
Will and I really became frustrated in terms of, is someone hearing us? How can we change? We shouldn't be pushing, just push, push, push.
Better Together pushed past criticism from Black leaders, past questions about their data, and past concerns from municipal leaders of all backgrounds about what appeared to be a top-down power grab. But they were about to receive a body blow that they couldn't recover from.
Local listeners probably know this part of the story, but remember when we said Steve Stenger was the former St. Louis County executive? Here's what happened.
Just 3 months after he said racial equity was the motivation for creating a new mega St. Louis city, one that he would oversee, Stenger was served with a federal subpoena for allegations of corruption. Better Together changed their plan. Instead of naming Stenger as the first Metro mayor, they decided to have the office be jointly administered by whoever was the county executive and mayor at the time. We should note that Nancy Rice, the former executive director of Better Together, denied that the change to the plan had anything to do with Stenger's subpoena.
Yet, the move was announced just hours after the person who would serve as an unelected mayor of a massive new city was subpoenaed for a pay-to-play scheme.
We didn't know about his, you know, the depth of his corruption at the time, but boy, there were some suspicions about Steve Stenger early on, and we heard those, and I raised an issue at a board meeting.
Stenger would ultimately plead guilty to 3 counts of public corruption for steering county contracts to campaign donors. He's currently serving a 46-month sentence in federal prison.
This was the end. A mere 5 months after Better Together's initial announcement of their plan, they withdrew their petition to merge St. Louis City and County.
A couple of weeks later, Dr. Ross resigned. And while he says Stenger's corruption was devastating, pinning all the blame on the failure of a single public official would mean avoiding deeper issues.
I thought it could work here, and I came to the conclusion that it's not embraced because of the history of distrust and racism in St. Louis. It simply did not lend itself to an embrace of that particular model. Sometimes you just have to say, it's time to stop.
After leaving, he made major waves when he penned an op-ed in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch calling for the resignation of 3 of Better Together's top officials.
There was an arrogance and dismissiveness which really, unfortunately, flowed throughout the organization, and it really just tainted the organization. And I felt that at that point, they were no longer legitimate.
Nancy Rice, the former executive director of Better Together, pins the plan's failure on Steve Stenger's indictment and conviction. Nevertheless, we asked her to assess Better Together's efforts to reach out to Black politicians and residents.
I think it was very well-intentioned. There was a reluctance on the part of politicians to engage with us. We thought we did well. But the community told us we didn't.
Rice is no longer in charge, but Better Together's not gone. And it's unclear what Better Together's future plans are.
We sent multiple emails and made phone calls to the contact information listed on Better Together's website. We've got lots of lingering questions, like, what are they up to now? What did they learn from all of this? And if they move forward, how exactly would they be inclusive of Black politicians and community members?
But no one with the organization has responded to our interview request. We'll be sure to let you know if something changes.
As for Dr. Ross, he says the whole experience has taught him a stinging lesson.
Maybe I saw the good in everyone going forward, and I wanted the best. Maybe that's true. Some people will call that politically naive. I'll accept that. I think that I simply wanted the best, and I felt that if I had an opportunity to hear from both sides. But I quickly found out that that wasn't the case, that there indeed are a group of individuals in this community who are not eager to have a truly inclusive process.
But the story of merging St. Louis City and County and other structural changes isn't over. Facing an existential threat, municipal leaders started putting together their own process to talk about merging services and governments.
It's called the Board of Freeholders or Board of Electors, and the process is outlined by the Missouri State Constitution. All but one of its 19 board members are appointed by the mayor of the city of St. Louis and the St. Louis County Executive, both of whom have said they want to see racial equity included in the discussion.
They have a year to come up with a plan. They can recommend big changes, they can recommend no changes, and local voters will have the final say.
But Dr. Ross says nothing will change if a culture that only pays lip service to inclusiveness and racial equity is allowed to persist.
I said I've been inside the belly of the beast. I've seen how it operates, and I've seen, you know, the good and the bad. Unless all things have a racial and equity lens, then we should be suspect. Unless all things are transparent, above board, then we should be suspect. And we were taught by Frederick Douglass that power concedes nothing without a demand. And so for those who are African-American like myself, who are put in these positions, we cannot be silent. We cannot simply say, let's wait for the process to work out. When we see these issues play out, then we have to be bold and speak out assertively, even aggressively. We can't worry too much about protocol. We have to worry about process that gets us to the desired outcome.
This show is produced by me, Jalian.
And me, Ashley Renee.
Lauren Brown is our associate producer.
And we want to give a huge thank you to Jason Rosenbaum, political reporter at St. Louis Public Radio.
He helped us with this episode. This show is overseen by Tim Lloyd, senior producer of On Demand and Content Partnerships, and Robert Peterson, director of radio programming and operations.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.